morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking Donald Driver, of course, today. The day is here. It's come. Today is the day Packers wide receiver Donald Driver announces his retirement from the Green Bay Packers. It's going to happen at a ceremony at Lambeau Field today, this afternoon, 11 a.m. Central Time. If you're not going to be there live, and I assume most people aren't, I think there was, if I heard correctly, 1,500 tickets sold to the event. They weren't sold, they were given away, but they could be picked up at the Packers box office, ticket office last week, which there was a line snaking outside the ticket office doors, as I saw pictures and things shared on social media last week. And there was more demand than what the Packers could accommodate. It's just taking place inside the Atrium, not inside like the Stadium Bowl or anything. It'll be warm. The Stadium Bowl is probably a little big for a retirement announcement. Maybe it'd be a little more full if it was like July or something. But the Packers gave away 4 tickets to any person that wanted them, so that probably factored into why it sold out so quickly. Sold out in quotation marks, I guess. But this is the day. This is the end of a career. Donald Driver retiring from the Packers today. By the way, if you can't be there live, the entire ceremony, the entire proceedings can be viewed, streamed live online on the Packers official website. So just go to packers.com. You can watch it. It starts at 11 a.m. Central Time. So apparently Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, Mark Murphy will all also be speaking at the event about Donald Driver. But reminds me of another Packer retiring not so long ago. In the fact that it's gotten this much fanfare. Brett Favre, of course, retired following the 2007 season in Green Bay. And, there was a lot of attention at that. There was a lot of attention on this. Of course, we all know how Brett Favre's retirement ended. He didn't really retire. He just went on to go play somewhere else, including one season in New York and then another 2 in for the Minnesota Vikings. But, in talking to Donald Driver, as I did last week, he says he's not going to play for another team. Well, he said he's not going to play for a division rival, I guess, to quote him verbatim. He won't play for the Vikings, the Bears, or the Lions. So, he still feels as if he can play and said he would be happy to come back to the Packers, actually. He would play for the Packers if they'd welcome him back. And I suppose it is something where, if the Packers all of a sudden had some injuries during the season, maybe they would welcome him back next year. That's speculation at this point and a long ways away. But you know how foot injuries are always a part of football and might not exactly be far-fetched to think that. But anyway, kind of looking back at the career of Donald Driver, I mean, who doesn't, love this guy? It's kind of a time right now to reflect upon Donald Driver's career and what he's meant to this organization. And there's no doubt about it, He's one of the most loved players in Packers history. And I'll go out and I'll say this. Donald Driver's number is not going to be retired. I don't think you, as great of a guy he is, as good of a player he is, he's not, NFL Hall of Fame worthy. But, and thus, I don't think you retire a guy's number, if they're not really in that caliber. I mean, a team can do whatever the heck they want. But I just don't think the Packers should go in that direction. I think you got to make it a high standard to do that. A very almost unattainable high standard, as in, most of the players who are in the Packers, who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, don't have their number retired by the Packers. The great ones do, Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, et cetera, et cetera. But there are more who do not. Just think of the guys like Jerry Kramer, the recently announced Hall of Famer, Dave Robinson. These guys don't have their number retired. Not that they weren't great players. But I don't think you retire Donald Driver's number. But I do think, the Packers made an exception a few years ago for general manager Ron Wolf into the Ring of Honor. I think the Packers make an exception and they put Donald Driver in the Ring of Honor. I think they do that for him. I think that would be a classy move. And because the Ring of Honor is reserved for players who make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And that's probably not going to be Donald Driver. I've actually said in the past that I do think Donald Driver would actually make the perfect, perhaps, veterans committee vote to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in, 30 years down the road. Exactly what happened to Dave Robinson, though. Just think, right? The guy from the Lombardi era, Dave Robinson, just recently announced he'd be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Back in the 1960s is when he played, and just now getting to the Hall of Fame now. I could see that happening to Donald Driver. I don't think the Packers want to wait 30 years to potentially put him in the Ring of Honor. I think you do that as soon as this season. You make an exception to the rule, your requirement for players in the Ring of Honor. I think you do that for Donald Driver. Heck, if the Packers want to make a statue of Donald Driver, that would be a great thing as well. I don't think you go and make a life, the one the size of Vince Lombardi and Curly Lambeau outside the front of Lambeau Field, but you want to put a life-size one somewhere else, a bronze statue of Donald Driver, say, outside the Oneida Nation Gate? How cool would that be? That'd be something awesome. I think that would be really neat. And, I kind of keep getting off track here, although these are all things I want to talk about. But, talking about the career of Donald Driver, he came to the Packers as a seventh round draft choice back in, I believe, 1999 was his rookie year, his first year with the Packers. And he started his career rather anonymously. Was not like a good player the first couple years in the league, even like the first three, had a handful of receptions every year. But I mean, he was making the 53-man roster, but it wasn't till like that third, fourth year in the NFL where all of a sudden he started becoming a good player, a Pro Bowl type of player, and did it early under Brett Favre and later under Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I mean, he came out of Elkhorn State. So first of all, this is not even a Division I college or, as they call it now, FBS school, not an FBS school. He was an FCS school at the time, Elkhorn State. I believe that's one of the HBS schools, historically black colleges. But he was a highly regarded college high jumper, track and field athlete, was potentially, you know, like world-class, like Olympic-class high jumper. I don't think he was quite that good, but I mean, there was, I remember, you know, hearing about at the time how there was that perhaps potential for Donald Driver to be a you know, like go to the Olympic trials, things like that. But, you know, focuses on football and, you know, comes to the Packers, and the rest is history. It, you know, of course, you know, going back further, he comes, I believe, from the Houston, Texas area, comes from a life of poverty. I believe he was he homeless for a time as a child? But I think dad was into drugs, things like that. But to overcome all these obstacles and get to where he was, that is amazing. John on our live blog says, always played bigger than his size. One of the plays to me that summed up his career was that long TD reception where he broke like 8 tackles. Oh, absolutely. You're talking about the game during the Super Bowl season 2010 when the Packers hosted the San Francisco 49ers. I love this one too. And it's interesting you bring that up, because just last week when I was covering the Super Bowl, the day it was announced Donald Driver was retiring, I believe was last Thursday. And, you know, just shortly after it was announced, went to the San Francisco 49ers team availability and just happened to stop by the table of wide receiver Kyle Williams of the 49ers. I think he's on injured reserve and, you know, not a star by any means, but, you know, just talking about NFL wide receivers and his memories of a Pro Bowl wide receiver, a Pro Bowl career like Donald Driver. And he brought up the touchdown against San Francisco back in 2010. Kyle Williams said that was his rookie year, and that play stands on his mind. Yeah, he broke like 8 tackles. It was an amazing catch and run. It was a short pass from Aaron Rodgers. You know, that the ball didn't travel that far through the air, but Driver ends up taking it 60 some odd yards for the touchdown, breaks like, I don't know if it's 8, but it's literally like 5, 6, maybe even 7 tackles, and he gets his way to the end zone. One of the most amazing plays of all time. And it really is, you know, one of the defining moments in his career. Jamie says on the live blog, a great story about hard work and determination and how if you work hard enough, you can overcome setbacks. Everyone loves a good story like that. Most definitely. That's Donald Driver for you. And of course, you know, I'd be remiss here if I didn't mention his reality television show career. He will be on he was on Dancing with the Stars, ABC's Dancing with the Stars, won the show. And I mean, that's basically what propelled him from, I think, a regional personality. I mean, obviously, Donald Driver is well known in Wisconsin and what he did with the Packers and all that. But I think he was really thrust into the national spotlight when he was on Dancing with the Stars. And you know, not only, you know, was on it, had won it with partner Petam Murgatroyd, won the Mirror Ball Trophy. And you know, he really started to transcend not just football, but pop culture in general. I mean, there's a lot of people that watch Dancing with the Stars that aren't football fans. I think that's kind of obvious. But Donald Driver is such an engaging personality. That megawatt smile. I mean, it's just all teeth. I mean, is there a better smile in the world than Donald Driver's? It's amazing. And you know, that's what I think, you know, caught the attention of the nation there. His personality when he was on Dancing with the Stars really stood out. What Packers fans have been seeing all along. Finally, the rest of the country was as well. And here also, if you want to share your Donald Driver memories, feel free. Call in at 608-403-5255. Feel free to call into the show and share your Donald Driver's memories if you feel like it this morning. As we kind of, you know, go over the career of Donald Driver on today, the day he announces his retirement, just hours away, a little more than 2 hours away. So we're talking about that. And yeah, I mean, Donald Driver as a football player, the Packers' all-time leading receiver in both receptions and receiving yards. And I think there's a couple more records he holds, like the most seasons with 1,000 yards. I'm not going to quote those. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, they're a little less, you know, little less obvious than receptions and receiving yards. But, I mean, Donald Driver's played for 14 seasons. So, I mean, when you play that long, you kind of, you know, tend to rack up receptions and receiving yards when you can last that long in the NFL. And so he's ahead of guys like, well, first of all, Don Hutson, who, you know, way back when the NFL wasn't quite the passing game it was, now. But, you know, still considered, you know, the grandfather of the wide receiver position. Almost the innovator of the wide receiver position, Don Hutson. But he's ahead, you know, Driver passes Don Hutson, he passes James Lofton, an NFL Hall of Famer, he passes Sterling Sharp, all these other great wide receivers in team history to become the all-time leader. And, you know, I think, what is Donald Driver, a two-time Pro Bowler? Great guy, great player. I'm in awe, and you know, it's he's going to be missed, and I think, you know, that it turns now to, what's Donald Driver going to do in the future? And I'm really am kind of disappointed I didn't ask this when I had the chance to talk to Donald last week. I wanted to ask him if he was approached by the Packers about a marketing deal. You heard about this a lot when Brett Favre retired, how they approached him about some sort of marketing, multi-million-dollar marketing deal where he would make appearances on behalf of the team, you know, things like speaking engagements, autographs, things like that. So I wonder if that's what the Packers have in store for Donald Driver, and maybe not, you know. I know he's going to have some sort of role with continuing a relationship with ABC, where he was on Dancing with the Stars, and I didn't catch all of it, or maybe I didn't understand all of it, but Donald Driver is going to have some sort of role this upcoming fall on ABC's Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. I don't know if it's host. I don't know if he's going to be a trainer or just a one-time thing. And maybe I should go back to that interview, because I think I only listened to it once, where I just heard him say this in passing. But that's one thing. I think he said they actually start taping that show soon, like right now in February or something like that. He's going to do that, and he says he still thinks he can play and would still come back to the Packers. Whether that means he's still going to stay in shape, I guess it sounds like he is, just leaving the door open to coming back. But we'll see. So that's Donald Driver for you. As we've spent the majority of today's show, the first 20 minutes or so, talking about the career of one of the greatest Packers wide receivers of all time. And the statistics bear it out. Your all-time leading receiver in Packers history. Going to be missed. We can sit here and talk about how, you know, Donald Driver wasn't used very much this past season, as you kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit. Did have two touchdowns this past year, but that was about, you know, it. They weren't very, he certainly didn't have the season of a Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, or James Jones this past year, as the Packers, or Randall Cobb for that matter, as the Packers have a very, you know, deep wide receiver core. And, you know, it's, he kind of phased out. Donald Driver kind of phased out. I mean, everybody knows that we talked about this all season long, so I don't feel as if I have to go into that too much now. But maybe we can talk about where does the Packers wide receivers go from here? Because, you know, Donald Driver's gone. It looks like Greg Jennings will be leaving in free agency, although not a given yet. But if those two players leave, I mean, that's two wide receivers gone from one of the best wide receiver cores in the NFL. You know, what do the Packers do from here? Obviously, still good and still deep with Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Randall Cobb, not to mention Jarrett Boykin, who spent all year on the Packers 53-man roster as a rookie. And really, I mean, you could sit here and say, if you look back at Donald Driver's rookie year, he only had a handful of receptions and almost did nothing as a rookie. It could be a situation where Jarrett Boykin does roughly the same thing. I mean, he had a handful of receptions this year. And not to say he's going to go on to a Donald Driver-type career, but, you know, that's not out of the question yet. And you sit here and you think maybe the Packers get rid of JerMichael Finley this offseason. It's been speculated about, notably by Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Again, nothing there is a given. But, I mean, that could be three premier targets leaving Green Bay this offseason. Could be. Emphasis on could. And what do the Packers do? Do they, despite having Nelson, Jones, and Cobb still around, do they have to address, you know, that position, some sort of receiving target somewhere in the draft then? And, you know, I think it is important in Green Bay to have a stable of weapons for Aaron Rodgers, because let's just assume, you know, the Packers go into next season with, you know, Nelson and Jones and Cobb. Those are your top three, and a very good top three, no doubt about it. But, you know, what if all of a sudden one of them suffers a season-ending injury, knock on wood? Okay, now the Packers are down to two good targets and a lot of question marks beyond that. So you almost got to sit there and say, yeah, they need to address this during the draft probably. You know, I don't know if they go and do it with the first round, you know, come April. I don't know if they draft a wide receiver first. I wouldn't rule it out. Heck, they've had, you know, very good success drafting wide receivers in the, you know, the early rounds outside the first, as both Jennings and Nelson were second round draft picks. I believe James Jones was a third, and, you know, Randall Cobb a second rounder. So they found good, you know, Pro Bowl elite wide receivers in the second round, you know, on day two. So they can do that. John says on the live blog, the Packers will draft at least one wide receiver in the draft, I believe. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, when you have, you know, seven draft choices, one for each round, I think the Packers are going to have more than that. I think they'll get at least one compensatory pick, if not more. I mean, out of eight draft choices, it's not going to surprise me if... you know, they draft another wide receiver. So, it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen at some point, whether it'll be the first, whether it'll be on day two, I don't know. But at some point, they'll go and they'll grab somebody. Be interesting to I almost think maybe, and especially if JerMichael Finley leaves, maybe it should be a tight end. You know, it's tough because if both Driver and Jennings leave, I am starting to lean more towards keeping JerMichael Finley around. I know I've been a proponent of actually parting ways with him, and now I'm coming around and thinking maybe they do try to get rid of him. And I'm almost thinking it's something like maybe they wait until the draft. There are two wide receivers who, there are two tight ends who I really like in this draft and I think can be available late in the first round. Stanford's Zach Ertz and Notre Dame's Tyler Eifert. I think they're both late first round prospects. Guys who could be around in the late first round for the Packers to take. And maybe the Packers pull the trigger on one of those guys. And maybe that opens up then a potential trade of JerMichael Finley immediately thereafter. So the Packers grab these guys and like, okay, JerMichael Finley is now expendable. Let's deal him while the draft is still on, where there's perhaps maybe potential for a team to, in the heat of the moment, give up a mid-round draft choice for JerMichael Finley. I do not think JerMichael Finley is going to, he's certainly not going to command a first-rounder as a trade. So that's where I think the Packers take a first-rounder, then turn around, and then perhaps, look to somebody else. Look for a potential second day, trade. Almost kind of like what they did with Javon Walker a few years ago. You remember that the Packers traded on draft day, I believe it was in the second round, traded away Javon Walker to, was it the Denver Broncos, for a second round draft choice? And I think they used that choice then on Craig Jennings, ironically. But I could see the same thing happening. Yeah, not to say, I think this is, the reality of this happening, I think, is slim, just because, trades don't happen every day in the NFL, but something I could see happening. John says, I don't see them trading Finley unless they get a second round pick for him. I'm not so sure. Well, that is a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, they obviously don't want to give him up for nothing. They don't want to trade him for a seventh rounder. He's probably worth keeping if that's all they're going to get in return. But would I even trade Finley for a third rounder? Probably. If you can get one on the second day of the draft, I would probably pull the trigger on that. But I get the sentiment, though. I mean, we're talking day two here. You start talking day three, and that's when it gets dicey a little bit. It's tough to see JerMichael Finley lasting. He's got one more year on his contract. It's tough to see him, lasting even further than that. Of course, the news yesterday was Aaron Rodgers' interview on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, 540 AM, WAUK, also streamed live at ESPNMilwaukee.com. In Aaron Rodgers' interview yesterday, and this is going to start getting a whole lot of attention, and probably we would be talking a whole lot more about this if it was not for Donald Driver's retirement today. I just wanted to, bring this up briefly. And that's, Aaron Rodgers really, came out and said publicly it's time to welcome Brett Favre back into the fold, basically. Time to let bygones be bygones. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, I really give Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit for going out and doing this. He is going out and taking the high road, something I said the Packers shouldn't do. You know, I have advocated for the Packers not even to retire Brett Favre's number. And I'm not sure I still would. Yet I'm sitting here, you know, wrestling with these ideas in my mind and trying to think, you know, am I holding a grudge? And I'm admiring Aaron Rodgers for what he said by taking the high road. You know, I'm still kind of in a way, I can't believe how much of a jackass Brett Favre acted when he wanted to get out of Green Bay back in the summer of 2008. That and the whole Jen Sturger thing as well. It just really, I lost a ton of respect for Brett Favre. But I'm trying to place my shoes. I'm in the Packers front office. You know, isn't it really perhaps maybe in the best interests of the Packers just to retire his number and, you know, honor him that way and let him become part of the Packers lore and Packers legacy? And you know what? It probably is. Because, you know, I think back to the two people who also left Green Bay who are perhaps the most iconic figures in Packers history. The guy the stadium's named after, Lambeau Field, Curly Lambeau. And again, this is way before my time and before almost anybody's time who's listening to this show. This is before, like, my grandparents' time with Curly Lambeau. But he, you know, left the Packers in a very contentious manner. And, you know, there was a lot of bad blood between the Packers and Curly Lambeau. A lot. If you do not know about the Packers parting with Curly Lambeau, I encourage you to go read some books. I mean, it was just as bad as Brett Favre. And now, you know, young people don't know anything about it. All they know is the Packers play at Lambeau Field. They know that the guy's statue sits outside the stadium and don't know that his name was Mud in Green Bay when he left. And there is also the manner of, you know, Vince Lombardi leaving Green Bay for the Washington Redskins late in his career. And I don't think there was as bad of feelings, but, you know, he obviously left the Packers as well. And that's been, you know, time heals all wounds. And, you know, probably, you know, my grandkids are not going to know about Jen Sturger. You know, all they're going to know is Brett Favre was a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's all they're going to know and know how he played for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, it's probably in the Packers' best interest to do it. I think he acted like a big jackass. And you know, I almost can't get over that. So, again, I'm kind of wrestling in my mind with a lot of ideas today, from JerMichael Finley to Brett Favre here. But I'm, again, in admiration of Aaron Rodgers and the way, you know, he wants to move on. And you know, because obviously it's a burden on him, too, this whole, you know, the Brett Favre saga that's been going on since Aaron Rodgers' rookie season and the kind of frosty relationship they have. But anyway, it's past 9 o'clock. Folks, going to take off here. Getting ready to cover the Donald Driver retirement event here. So everybody have a fun time watching that. We'll have all sorts of, you know, coverage, I'm sure, here at Cheesehead TV. And we'll see you later. We'll be back on Friday once again. So we'll talk to you then. We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks to Jamie Jors for being our live blog director today. I leave you today with a song called Bali Munster. Yes, Bali Munster by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.